Welcome to another episode of the Business Brokers Podcast. Get ready for some amazing tips, stories, and advice from professionals and business owners just like you. And now, here's your host, the number one rated business broker in the nation, Chad Peterson.
Hello, and thank you for listening to today's podcast. Today's guest is Ty Crandall. Ty Crandall is an international known speaker, author, and business credit and financing expert. He is the CEO at Credit Suite, where he oversees the biggest business credit coaching operation in the United States. With 16 years of financial experience, Ty is widely recognized as an authority in business credit building, business credit scoring, and business financing. He is the author of two popular books, Perfect Credit and Business Credit Decoded. Ty is a frequent contributor to radio and news shows, TV programs, and magazines, including Entrepreneur, Inc., and Forbes, as well as the host of the popular podcast, The Business Credit and Finance Show. Ty is a powerhouse guest with vigorous co-promotion of each and every show appearance with his 40,000 email subscribers, 30,000 Facebook fans, 5,000 Twitter followers, 13,000 YouTube subscribers, an active Periscope and Instagram following. I personally have had the pleasure of being on Ty's show. He's an absolute workhorse. He's a very, very much so a professional at what he does. And I welcome you onto the show, Ty. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So if I could, Ty, you and I have had talks on podcasts before. And like I said, I'm always impressed with where you're headed with your business and the things that you're able to ask the pioneers and the greats out there within their own industry, what it is they do, so you can then turn around and bless your audience with that information. So could you tell the audience a little bit more about you today?
Sure. I mean, my passion is helping business owners really obtain corporate credit. So at Credit Suite, there's a few things we do. We help business owners, improve their fundability and fix the things that help make them lendable or appealing to lenders and credit issuers. And then we help them build business credit if they're EIN that's not linked to their personal social. So that's, corporate credit that doesn't require personal guarantees and credit check. And then we also have kind of pulled together all legitimate funding it sources to one place. So then that way, in one place, speaking with one person, you can find all the loans and all the credit lines that you can qualify for. So my ultimate passion is helping entrepreneurs get money. And that's how we do it, especially focusing on helping them build business credit that doesn't require cash flow or credit or collateral to be able to qualify.
Okay, wonderful. And with that being said, do you find that most people are using your expertise to build the business, or is it startup, or is it, putting money back into their business to continue growing? Or do you find sometimes that people are borrowing money because they found themselves in a tight spot and they find themselves not having credit? So now it gets their attention and now they need to start listening to you.
I think it's all of the above. I mean, our typical client comes from a few different buckets. There's the people that are starting a business and they don't yet have cash flow. They don't yet have a collateral, and a lot of them might not have good credit. So they just don't qualify for conventional and they don't qualify for alternative financing. And I call that my 3 C's formula for loan approval, which means cash flow, credit, or collateral. Anybody that's going to go and get money from a bank or even an alternative lender, one of those three things is always going to be looked at. The better money you get looks at more of those three things: the cash flow, the credit, the collateral. What's nice about business credit is that you don't need any of those. It's one of the only ways you can get money to grow a business without having cash flow, even as a startup, without having collateral to offset lender risk, without having good credit. So we have a lot of people that come in on a startup and to get business credit because they can capitalize their business. They can get the money they need to grow their business and let their business fund itself, even without having those banks. Then there's others that are very well established, $1 million, $5 million type companies. They're now moving on to get SBA loans. They're getting longer form term loans. They're looking for longer terms and lower interest rates. And as they go to get those better loans, they're running into barriers because they never built their business credit. Business credit has to be built very intentionally, meaning you don't just accidentally build business credit, because about 97% of trade vendors are the people that you make payments to. They don't report those payments. So you have to be very intentional when building business credit, getting business credit with sources that do report. So we find a lot of people that just missed that step. Now they're trying to get an SBA loan. The lender's turning them down because they have no or bad business credit. And now they're coming to us to try to fix that problem. And then we have that third bucket, which is just kind of everybody looking to get capital. Some are in trouble, some aren't in trouble, some are pre-planning, but they're just generally looking to get capital to take their business to the next level, whether it be marketing, expansion, hiring. They have one of those needs typically or another where they actually need money to do so. So those are probably the three different types of customers that we see most often.
Okay. Now, how does Dun & Bradstreet play in this?
Well, Dun & Bradstreet, in the business world, there are three credit reporting agencies that are the major ones. Just like in the consumer space, you know, you have TransUnion, you have Equifax, you have Experian in the United States. If you go to other countries or even in the United States, there are thousands of other credit bureaus, but those are the main ones we're familiar with. In the commercial world, there's Dun & Bradstreet and Equifax and Experian. So Equifax and Experian, who are also popular on the consumer side, are very big in the commercial side as well. But the vast majority of credit reporting really has to do with Dun & Bradstreet. They have like 230 million records on file. And what they do is they're a reporting agency that all over the world, they congregate business data. And then they basically populate that data into credit reports, give it scores based on risk, and then lenders, credit issuers, suppliers, and many other types of people and institutions and investors use that information to make all kinds of decisions about you and your business. So when it comes to corporate credit, when it comes to building business credit profiles and score, Dun & Bradstreet is the biggest of the reporting agencies that you really want to build credit with.
Sure. And, you know, as well as I do, you know, because you and I have spoke, I do a lot of lending. I sell businesses and they're usually driven by the SBA process. And in the SBA process, it really is less about credit. It's more about cash flow and collateral. But yet you still do have to have credit. And I know that most of the time, because they're buying a business, they don't have that credit established as being the buyer. But are you saying that if you were to have a real strong Dun & Bradstreet number, that would help you in the underwriting process at a bank?
Sure. I mean, look, you can't get an SBA loan without it. The way that SBA loans work is they're guided by a score called FICO SBSS. So this is the FICO Small Business Score. In order to get an SBA loan, you have to have a minimum of 140 FICO SBSS score. Well, the way that the FICO score works for businesses is it looks at your business data first, then it kind of goes down into your consumer data. So you can't have, it's impossible mathematically to have a 140 score to get an SBA loan without having business credit. It's just absolutely not possible. So that means in order to get an SBA loan, you have to have a 140 FICO SBSS score. In order to get a FICO 140 SBSS score, you have to have business credit established. So the way SBA works is that you have to have all three. They're going to expect you have collateral to offset the risk. Now, you know it because you sell a lot of businesses and buy a lot of businesses. When people are using SBA to buy businesses, they're looking at collateral. Typically, account receivables is the most popular kind of collateral used for SBA loans, especially if somebody's looking to buy a business. But then that owner needs to have good credit. They need to have good consumer credit. They need to be managing their bank account, the business that they're buying, and personally, bank accounts need to be managed. They have a good bank score, and they have to have high enough business credit scores as well in order to have that FICO SBS score to qualify. And as you just mentioned, the business, of course, has to be cash flowing as well. So you've got to have that credit on the business and consumer commercial side. You've got to have that cash flow. You've got to have that collateral in order to qualify for that kind of loan.
Sure. So I'm curious, what would be the first step that you would take if somebody like myself called you and say, hey, I want you to take care of me and help me get where I need to be, where my business credit score and help me become more bankable. What's the first thing you would tell me?
Well, the very first thing we do is what we call a fundability analysis or a fundability check. So a lot of people go right into wanting to get money. And you see this all the time in your world that, you know, when they're trying to sell a business, for example, or buy a business, they just want to go to the action. But there's all kinds of pre-planning that really needs to be done for the transaction to occur successfully, right? So it's exactly the same thing in the business world. So many people want to go get a loan, but then they're not addressing all the things that make it difficult for them to get a loan. Their entity isn't set up right. They've chosen the wrong entity. Their business name indicates they're in a high-risk industry. They're using a Gmail email address. They don't have a website that's a professional website. They're using a home address as their business address. They're using a home phone or a cell phone. You know, so there's all kinds of these errors that affect their fundability or their ability to get money.
A lot of it's just basics, isn't it? A lot of it's simple stuff.
For us, it is.
Yeah.
Because I'm in financial services and you see so much of it that for us, we think it's common sense. We really do. But for a lot of people, they just don't know that. They don't know that they need their phone number listed in 411 and a toll-free number and those things. So we go through and we do that. One of the biggest mistakes, Chad, to be honest with you, is that the information that they're putting on an application doesn't even match other sources like Secretary of State. And so this is where people mess up. The majority of loan applications are not denied because your credit's not good enough. And they're not denied because your revenue is not strong enough. They're denied because the bank thinks it's fraud. You know,
over that, or it's inaccurate. They're going to say, no, it's not complete enough, or it's not accurate enough, or fraudulent, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what they think. So, you know, they come in, you apply for a loan, and then the name of your business doesn't match exactly with Secretary of State as what you put on the application for credit. Well, they automatically assume it to be fraud, and they deny the application. So that's a lot of what we do is we go into that fundability check and make sure that business is set up legitimately where it's credible, where their application isn't kicked out because of fraud, where the fundability is in line. And then once that's in place, then you can move to the other steps of helping them obtain credit that actually reports to those business reporting agencies.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Is the, you know, a lot of these, help me out with the terminology, but it's a loan based on what your monthly receivables are.
Yeah. Well, you could do a couple things. That's account receivable financing there. And another popular one's based on your revenue, which is called revenue financing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And is that a last ditch effort of financing? Is that like, you know, you should be able to go to a bank, but if you can't, then you go to one of those types of places to get that harder, more expensive money?
You know, it's very interesting because when we kind of had the economic shift in 2008, Dodd-Frank was created. And this law really made a lot of changes where it was harder for banks to lend money. And we saw credit tighten up almost instantly by 15, 20% when we looked at the limits and the amount of credit that was actually being issued. So the minute that happens, the minute regulation comes in, all kinds of smart entrepreneurs come in with alternative solutions to fill that void. And that's really what we saw a lot of, is that all these alternative lenders came in. And the easiest way to explain it, if we look at that 3C formula, cash flow, credit, collateral, is banking always required all three. Your credit needed to be pristine. You needed to have cash flow verifiable per tax returns that met all these requirements. You had to have collateral. These alternative lenders started coming in this space and said, look, we don't need all three. We just need one. So in those examples you gave, one is account receivable factoring, where all you need is people paying you on terms. And you can use that one thing, collateral, to qualify for financing. And what's nice about that is your personal credit quality doesn't matter. Your cash flow doesn't matter. So now all of a sudden people can get low interest rate financing based only on 1C, collateral, and they don't need those others. The same as what we talked about with revenue lending or cash flow financing. Hey, with that, you only need cash flow. You don't need collateral and you don't need good credit. The other benefit there is it's super fast money. You know, SBA loans, a month to 2 months. You know, with cash flow financing, 72 hours, the money's in your bank account. So a lot of those, it just kind of comes down to the need of the borrower. If they want something that's faster to get, then these alternative financing deliver money much quicker than longer term SBA loans that take many months to be able to get. Sure. And the other is just simple qualification. It's easier to qualify based on 1C than it is to have everything, your whole house, in order to qualify. So
absolutely. Now, do those programs, does that type of money, are they going to report to Dun & Bradstreet and the other reporting agencies?
It's an amazing question, because that's a question a lot of business owners don't ask that should. And the answer is it really depends. You know, cash flow financing, some sources report, some sources don't. SBA loans, some sources report, some sources don't. So we always teach our clients, you should always ask that question. Whenever you apply for a credit card or credit line or loan, you want to ask them, do you report by payment history and who do you report to? And you have to be very careful, because a lot of them report a UCC filing alerting others that you have a loan, but that doesn't help your payment. They're not reporting your timely payments that help your payment history or your credit scores. They're just telling people you have a loan. So you should ask that question.
Well, and to my point is that let's just say you don't have a good score. You're not doing things right. You're running your house out of you're running your business out of your house. You know, your application doesn't look strong. You get denied by a bank. So you go with some of this cheaper, let's just say harder money that's higher interest rate, fast turnaround. Well, if you're going to do that, you might as well get the most bang for your buck and make sure that they do report so it can actually have more benefit than just the money, to where you can show that you've had good credit history. So next time you have a better chance of walking into a bank and getting what you want. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you definitely want to do that. And, you know, and I tell a lot of people that not even be focused on the interest rate, because a lot of that stuff is based on risk. And, you know, to give you an example, we had a client that paid 65% interest rate on an equipment loan.
Oh, buddy.
It's crazy, right? Yeah. But what's interesting in his world is that he bought it, used it to buy a tree destumper, which didn't know existed, but he's building golf courses, and this machine pulls tree stumps out of the ground. Well, that saved him over $10,000 a month from paying manually to have that work done. So, you know, he writes off all the interest. He still saves 10 grand a month. That's a make sense transaction. And speaking of that higher price money, that's what you have to look at. If you're trying to get through a low season, a low, you know, volume season, that's not what that money's for. That money is more intended to use for something that you're going to make a strike. And that strike is going to produce a near immediate significant return that's vastly more profitable than the cost of the money. So an expansion off what you said, but you got to be careful when you're looking for the higher price money. Make sure you're investing into something that's going to give you a near immediate and substantial return, or it just doesn't even make sense to look into that.
Right. I mean, it has to be a good bang for the buck, no doubt. And I can understand what you're saying. If that guy can pull trees out of the ground quick, he's cutting down his labor, he's saving 10 grand a month, then the interest rate just doesn't matter. You know, but, you know, I see this a lot in my industry, Ty, where people are down on bended knee with their business because they don't have their marketing right, their management right, they don't have their message right. They're just not doing what they need to be doing. And so now they find themselves in a tight money crunch, and they believe that if they just had money that they would succeed. And it's a huge misconception. You know, money is a tool, and that's all it is. And if you've been in business for many years and all you think is your answer is more money, you're usually wrong about that. So I can see a lot of people that seek out money because they're doing something wrong in their business. They don't need money. Like you just said, that guy was pulling trees out that saved him 10 grand a month. He needed money. He needed that. But a lot of people would probably go and borrow these types of money at a high interest rate, only to put themselves in a worse position because they haven't corrected their internal problems in their business. Do you see that as well?
I absolutely do. And I think you broke it down very nicely, where whether it be debt financing, venture capital, whatever it may be, when you're looking for money, a large part, you should be looking for that money for expansion, to grow, to take advantage of opportunities. If you're looking to borrow money to survive, you've got fundamental problems with your business itself. Your margins aren't right. Your costs are too high. You're selling your product for too low. And money's just going to buy time before the inevitable, which is that you're going out of business. So you should never have to borrow money just to keep yourself afloat. If you are, then like you said, you have to really take a hard look at your business model to figure out why that is. And it's usually an issue with your margins. And it usually has to do with your expenses or your cost of goods sold being too high, or your prices being too low. But regardless, you're not keeping enough of the money that you're actually, what you're selling your products for.
And I know that you educate people on how to do these things, but do you also help people find the money? Do you help them do that?
Yeah, we do. What we do is we work with over 1,000 different lenders, and we evaluate every legitimate funding source that's out there. And I say that because there's a lot of funding out there that's fly by night that doesn't make it because it's just not legit. But sure, the funding that's legitimate, we kind of go through, evaluate all that, and then pull together all funding in one place. So somebody can come in, have cash flow, credit, collateral, whatever their strength or weakness is, and find the right capital solution for them.
Sure. And we're going to keep going here on this podcast because we're not done yet. But I just, you know, real quick to my audience, I want to make sure that you understand it's Ty Crandall, right?
Yep.
Okay. And it's spelled T-Y. His first name is T-Y. Last name, C-R-A-N-D-A-L-L. And you can find him, just Google Credit Suite, Ty Crandall. You'll find him. And it's at www.creditsuite.com. I just want to plug that in there in the middle of the podcast here, just so they understand who they're talking to, just to anchor that in.
I appreciate that.
So, Ty, a couple of things. I know that if we had some let's just say I had bad credit. Let's say I didn't pay a credit card. Let's say 08 crisis hit me really hard. I know how to go to TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, and I know how to play their game, and I know how to talk to creditors because all they really want is money. Let's just say that I defaulted on something. I can settle on it, or I can pay it in full, and then I can request that they remove it from my credit report, and then I can go to the three major credit bureaus and I can have it removed if I need. How does that look in a business type scenario with business credit?
Well, if you're going to do that on the consumer side, my advice is that you work with somebody that actually understands that process pretty well. There's a lot of legitimate credit repair companies out there, and I've spent a lot of time with credit. I've looked at tens of thousands of credit reports, consumer, commercial, in my career, and I can tell you that the majority of consumer credit reports, 80 to 90% of the derogatory items, are to be deleted by law because they're just not accurate. You know, everything on a credit report must be 100% accurate, verifiable, and timely to be on a consumer credit report per the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And that law was created in the 70s to protect the integrity of data that's being reported on people's consumer credit reports. If you work with a credible expert, then there's all different kinds of ways, as you mentioned, you can fix consumer credit, including the fact that you're working within the FCRA to be able to get those items deleted. And there's laws like TILA, there's laws like the Fair Billing Act, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, that could all be used as leverage to get credit issuers to delete derogatory items that might not be accurate in lieu of all the other things that they have to do compliance-wise with those laws. Whole other conversation, and I'm not the guy to do it, but my advice there is to find a reputable consumer credit company that can help you. In the commercial world, it's different because there is no Fair Credit Reporting Act. So the commercial world's not regulated like consumer is. There is no FCRA. There is no law that says this is how creditors and the bureaus must act. So it's pretty much Wild West in our world. Now, we still help a lot of people come through and fix their credit with the reporting agencies. And the best way to do so is first, get a copy of your credit reports. So you can go to creditsuite.com/monitoring for $24, get your Experian and D&B credit reports. It's 90% cheaper than going to them direct. If you see derogatory items on there, then you want to do one of two things. You want to either go to Dun & Bradstreet with IUP, the derogatory items with them, or with Experian or Equifax, you go to their own credit monitoring platform and you could dispute there. So either dispute with Equifax Experian on the credit monitoring platform or with iUpdate with Dun & Bradstreet to get that derogatory item, those derogatory items corrected.
That's wonderful information. And I just assume that the Fair Credit Reporting Act is really just like one of the consumer protection laws. So that's why they don't venture into business. It's more for typical consumers, whereas business, it's like, you know, now you're, like you said, wild, wild west. There's nothing really from a lobbying standpoint to protect business owners from erroneous information, things that are too old on the credit report or something like that. So you're kind of on your own in business, whereas on your personal credit report, there's a ton of tools. And that probably has to do with, like I said, consumer protection laws, making sure that people, if they messed up, they can pretty quickly remedy it so they can buy a home and buy a car and things like that. It's probably a consumer protection law, but you know, I don't know if there's that many protection laws for business owners. It's wild, wild west. I agree with that.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. The way I explain it is that when consumers get in trouble, a lot of them just go and cry. And then they're crying to bureaucrats, and bureaucrats are coming in creating laws to solve the problem. Entrepreneurs, man, we just shake it off. Like, that's just how we're born. You know, we just get up, we shake it off, we move on. And so I think that because of that, you just don't see as much whining in the business world. We just take our hits and move on.
Oh, man, isn't that the truth?
It's so true.
You could hit me 60 times. I'm just going to get back up. You know what I mean? Like, that's just an entrepreneur, you know? So we agree on that for sure. So listen, I'm going to talk a little bit about your success because you've given us a lot of information about what you do, how you do it, what to look out for. You've given us some real good information and educated my listeners on credit and how to get money and the difference between, you know, banks and the three credit bureaus here on, you know, for consumers as well as Dun & Bradstreet. So we've got a lot of meat and potatoes, but I want to talk about some of your success because I think that is maybe equally, if not more important. You've had such success with what you do. You've been recognized by Inc., Entrepreneur, Forbes, Fox, ABC. You're everywhere and you have one hell of a presence online. And just because I know you personally, I know you work your ass off, but tell me a little bit about your success. And if you could tell me the inflection point where you decided to do the thing that got you here. Could you tell me about that moment that you decided this and how your success has been so so wonderful for you since then?
Yeah, no, and I really appreciate that. And I think it's a good lesson of kind of what to do to find your passion. But in my world, I owned a mortgage company. The whole mortgage industry collapsed. I was the wrong place, the wrong time, lost everything on the personal side, foreclosures, repossessions, everything that goes with it. And as I took that hit, I started a consumer credit company and really legitimately wanted to help other people solve their consumer credit issues as I had. I went from having very good credit to very bad credit in a short period of time, saw a lot of misinformation, really got passionate about wanting to help people do that. And as I did that, a lot of people asked me about business credit building, and I didn't know much about it. And then enough people asked me that one night I decided to settle in and kind of figure out what business credit was. And it took me really into what I call the bowels of Google, which is like page five, you know, the place nobody goes on a Google search, like five and beyond.
Yeah. But, you know, they say the best place to hide a dead body is on page number two of Google.
Yeah,
right? Nobody ever looks.
It took me a while. Nobody was talking about this. Nobody was explaining how it worked. And when I really started to discover that, and it was one of those moments where if you ever play video games where you sit down and then like hours pass and you're like, wow, I don't even know like where the time went. Hours had passed. It was the middle of the night. And I just remember being shocked and realizing there was a way for a business to build a credit profile and score and then use the credit it built to be able to fund itself. And this was a concept. I dedicated my life to financial services, had been in it well over a decade at that point. And I knew nothing about it. And I realized if I didn't, nobody did. And I became really frustrated that nobody was talking about it.
So you saw a hole in the market, basically.
You saw
something that nobody was talking about.
What I found, and for me, it wasn't even a business sense. It was a personal frustration where what happened to me in that moment was I said, like, this is insane. My life is financial services. I knew nothing about this. If I would have known this, what happened in my world was that the business started to falter, so we started to go late on business debts. Well, that reported on my personal credit report, and then all my credit issuers lowered my limits to the credit I owed. So my whole recovery plan was, I'm like, no big deal. I have like $250,000 of available credit, right? I can navigate through this thing just fine. But as the business debt started to pull on my personal credit report, then what happened was all my personal credit immediately went away and it tanked my credit scores. So the business problems then ruined my ability to recover. And when I realized business credit separated personal credit from business credit, and that I never had to happen if I just would have built a business credit profile, separated my liability, separated my credit profiles, I became very frustrated that I didn't know that information and nobody had taught me. And you know, I was raised, Chad, that you don't complain about a problem unless you're willing to produce a solution. So then I actually kind of made the effort and said, I'm going to start learning how business credit works since there's no information out there. And then in real time, I'll teach it. And I started this YouTube channel. That's what I did. I would in real time go study something like the Dun & Bradstreet score. And then I would put it into a PowerPoint with no graphics or anything. And then would fire up the PowerPoint and teach people for an hour what I learned. And then it took me about a year and all of a sudden I realized I had thousands of followers and I wasn't the only one. Everybody wanted to know how this worked as well. And like a whole business was formed and, you know, we basically are at, you know, $10 million now. So it's kind of interesting to look back, you know, from a startup to a $10 million a year company, but it really all comes down to really figuring out your passion and it really should hit home. In my world, it was very personal. Of what not having business credit did to me and the impact emotionally. And that was what drove me to make sure that others didn't struggle in that way that I did. And now I just strive to say, look, if you want to choose to not separate your liability, that's up to you. But at least now you have a choice. I didn't have a choice because I didn't have the information. I want everybody to now have the information so they can make the best choice. And that's what I've dedicated my life to ever since.
Sure. And you know, I found, Ty, that, wherever there's pain, that's where power can start from. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that will probably listen to this podcast and they're looking to start a business or they think, you know, there's a million ways to make money. And so they think that there's a hole in the market. They think that they could do something like you. You know, you were thinking about business credit and it was like you looked around, you talked to people and it's like nobody else knew about it. There's people out there that believe that they have the thing to go do and they just need some money to do so. Is there any way that these people that might be listening because they want to borrow money for a business, is there a way for them to reach you to have you consult with them on how to get this done?
Sure. Creditsuite.com. If they go to creditsuite.com/EIN, there's a great guide that maps out the exact steps to build business credit. If they go to creditsuite.com/consult, like consultation, creditsuite.com/consult, we'll do a free fundability analysis. We'll go in and see what credit you have established with the reporting agencies now, get you a free copy of your business credit report. We'll see how fundable your business is. We'll even give you a pre-qualification for financing to let you know all the financing you can qualify for now.
That's great. By the way, you know, not to overtalk this, but you and I have so much in common. You know, I had the biggest mortgage company in the Midwest, and I was doing, I had 120 employees. I was doing anywhere from $7 to $10 million a year in revenue. I was killing it. And in 08, I got crushed. And I don't mean crushed. I mean like flattened. Okay. And then ultimately, because we were, and this is going to lead into a question, but what I found was that I went out to the market because I saw that people were getting hit all over the place. I mean, people were foreclosing, they were losing their houses, losing their cars, they were defaulting on credit cards. It was a horrible time. I mean, it was horrible for everybody, but for some of us that were doing really well in the wrong industry, the mortgage industry, it was crushing. So what I did is I went out there because I understand credit very well, at least on the consumer side, not on the business side, but I understood consumer credit because that's all I did. I looked at thousands and thousands of credit reports because of what we did. So I created a credit repair software and I did pretty well with it, you know, enough to, you know, survive. But it seemed to me, and it was my personal experience, and I'm going to get your opinion here in a second, but it seemed to me that the world didn't wake up to rebuilding their credit until about 2012. Would you say that that's correct? Were we still in the hit of 08, say in 2011, where people weren't as, they were still holding on, they weren't really caring about rebuilding their credit yet, they were just in survival mode? Would you say 2012 was the moment that this started to change?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it definitely happened post, you know, economic collapse.
Yeah, because it's like I went out there with credit repair software and a lot of education for consumers to help their credit scores. And it was just like I showed up too early to the party. They were just like, you know, I'm still not paying my bills. And so I think if I would have stayed with that, at least my technology that I built, because I spent a lot of money on it, and it was an incredible comprehensive system to help people rebuild their credit. I think that if I would have held on to it, it would have caught fire in 2012, 2013. But I just couldn't get anybody to rebuild their credit during the collapse. And I think that collapse, we say 08, but it was really like late 7 all the way until I think 11 or 12. It was pretty grim. And I think since, well, would you say 2013 till now has been pretty strong?
Yeah, absolutely. But I got to be honest with you. I think what I see now and what I felt with consumer credit is that, look, people don't care about their credit, unfortunately. They only want it to buy something. And that's what I always found. And you found, I'm sure, in the software world, and I found helping people fix their consumer credit. Very rarely would somebody come to you or I and say, I want to fix my credit to fix my credit. It was always, I want to fix my credit because I'm trying to buy a home or I'm trying to buy a car. And I wish that was different in both worlds. I think in the consumer and commercial world, if people were more on the preventative side and started to do things preemptively instead of being reactionary to everything, their lives would work out to be way better. But unfortunately, no matter what year, even in 2020, it's still the same thing. You know, people are just fixing their credit to get what they want. They really still don't understand how much value consumer and commercial credit really can provide them if they actually get this down and do it the right way.
Absolutely. That's wonderfully said. And, you know, to my audience, you know, you all know that I sell businesses, I help people buy businesses, and credit is a big part of it. Cash flow, collateral, and credit. That's really what it comes down to. And so I encourage you all to lean on Ty. By the way, and I've said it a couple of times, Ty works like a maniac, like I do, and he's always on it. So I encourage you to go to creditsuite.com and follow some of the advice that Ty's given you today and go through his website. If you want to start a business, if you want to buy a business, if you have a business that's even going to be sold, there are some things that Ty hasn't talked about today, which is, you know, if you go to sell your business and you might have a UCC lien on your business, and we go to sell your business and it could be on your credit to where, you know, we go to close your business and now we've got a problem. Ty could probably help you around that as well and how to handle that as well. So I encourage you to go to creditsuite.com and check Ty out. He's an incredible man with a lot of knowledge for you. And Ty, do you have any last words for the audience today?
Grab your free guide, creditsuite.com/EIN. Be on the preventative side. You know, I mean, business credit is the foundation of getting the best terms on the financing you want. So creditsuite.com/EIN, the great free guide with the exact steps to be able to do so. And thanks, Chad, for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
I have enjoyed it as well. And you enjoy your day, Ty.
All right. Thanks. And thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Business Brokers Podcast with Chad Peterson. Be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. And don't miss the next episode. You're going to love next week's epic guest.